For everything that is wrong in our lives, there's a Bible verse for it. For every worry, every concern, every fear, there is a Bible verse. If you don't know your Bible verses, read, read, read.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Real Meaning of Adultery, and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 27 through 30. Today's sermon is The Real Meaning of Adultery. Can we all please stand one last time in reverence to God's holy word, those who are able-bodied? Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30. I'm reading out of the ESV today. This is Jesus speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. He's still interpreting the law for us. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. Heavenly Father, we pray, O Lord, that you will touch us today with your word. I ask, O God, that you will anoint me to speak your words and not my own, and that these words will affect us as we live and as we approach others. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. So we're going to go through these verses so we can get some clarification, okay? So if there's anything in here you don't understand right away, hold on. We'll make it clear, okay? Let's not jump to conclusions and start chopping off our hands. Okay, adultery is a very serious, immoral act that causes great pain, suffering, hurt, and destruction. Adultery causes great damage both inwardly and outwardly to all the people involved. Immorality is at the heart of adultery. There are three major reasons people commit acts of immorality. They are, one, ego. A person starts believing to have a right to conquer, take, capture, control, know, see, experience, enjoy, and on. Ego. I've got the right. I can do whatever I want. And this is what I want. This is what I will take. This is what I will experience. This is what I will enjoy. So ego is one reason why people decide to be immoral. They think they have a right. Everyone else is doing it. I can do it too. An inner need for attention. Some people just have this inner need. They just need the attention. And so they do immoral things because they get a laugh out of somebody. They get a rise out of somebody. They get a gasp out of somebody. They get attention from people. Even if it's negative. Ever see a child act up? They just want the attention, right? Even though they're getting in trouble, they're still doing it for what? The attention. And the third, raw lust of the flesh. Let's not kid ourselves. Many acts of immorality are simply because of a person's raw lust within their flesh. They just have this lust, and they cannot control it. They don't want to control it. Mankind desires to glorify the flesh and even make excuses for immoral acts. However, Christ is firm in his teaching that we are to be moral citizens. People like to glorify the flesh. They like to lift themselves up and show their own glory, to be the center of attraction. Rather than having Jesus shine through their life, they want to be seen. But Christ is firm in his teaching that we are to be moral citizens. This is healthy for everyone. So my first point today is the law against adultery. In our verses today, in Matthew 5:27, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.'" Now, where did we hear that from? Well, Jesus is referring to the Old Testament, number 7. The seventh commandment is written in the Old Testament in Exodus 20:13, "You shall not commit adultery." So God laid this down a long time ago. It's one of our commandments out of the 10. So he's taking it very seriously, is he not? God gives this law for 3 reasons. God gives the law against adultery for 3 major reasons, and they are to assure the respect and protection of individuals, families, and property. When a person commits adultery, they break apart individuals emotionally, physically. That person is damaged. When a person commits adultery, they tear apart families. They tear apart properties. I don't think there's any more other greater pain other than losing somebody to death than this kind of stuff. This stuff is very, very, very painful, probably equal to death in some ways, okay? Because it almost feels like a part of you is dying when somebody does this to you. It hurts. Some of us don't even want to imagine this happening. But this is one of the reasons why God put this law into place, okay? Because he cares about us, he loves us, and he wants to see us protected from this. Exodus 20:17 says this, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's." Who's your neighbor? Your fellow man, your fellow woman, right? In other words, what God is trying to say is if you see somebody with something that you don't have, don't want it. Don't desire it. Coveting is wanting something that is not yours, that has not been given to you by God. If you want something that your neighbor has, go out and work for it and go get it yourself, but don't take it from them. Okay? Don't take it from them. It's wrong. It's wrong to look over across the street at your neighbor's house and say, "Wow, he has a prettier yard than I do." If you think they have a prettier yard, don't get mad. Go out and fix your yard up. Okay? If he's got a prettier wife or she's got a nicer husband, just be glad that you even got a spouse that'll put up with you. Don't sit there and want what they got. That's very unhealthy. Number 2, he put this here to protect us from judgment. I said he put this law in effect to protect us from judgment. God is a fair God. He's more fair than any of us would ever be. But the thing is he hates adultery. He hates divorce. And when people do these things, his judgment comes down onto their life. That's why it never works out for the perpetrator. When somebody, in my experience, commits adultery, and I do a lot of counseling, it always looks like the perpetrator is getting away with something in the short term. But then you catch up with that person many years later, and you see a life of devastation. Something has come into their life that God has laid judgment down for what they did. And it never fails. Anybody hear of what goes around comes around? Well, so God put this here to protect us from judgment, because you heard what he was saying after he was talking about adultery. He was saying that it's better to cut things out of your life than to what? End up in hell. Okay? Adultery is such a serious crime against God that many people who commit it never fully recover spiritually from it. Did you hear what I said? It is such a serious crime that the heart becomes so hard they never come to Jesus and they end up in hell. I know we're not supposed to talk about hell. We don't talk about these things anymore. But Jesus talks about it. He talked more about hell than he did about heaven. And what he's saying is that when you get into this lifestyle, when you become so hard-hearted that you would hurt somebody like this, what else would you do? What else? I mean, this is a serious, serious crime against God. God will take vengeance on whoever destroys or harms another person through adultery or immoral act. He will. He will. Deuteronomy 32:35. This is God speaking. Vengeance is mine, and recompense means to pay back in full. That's what that word means, to pay back in full. Not to pay back in a little bit, not to pay back in partiality. It means to pay back in what? Full. And God is saying, for the time when their foot shall slip, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and their doom comes swiftly. If that doesn't scare you, I don't know what does. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to warn you, okay? So that you can walk out of here with this word in your heart and you can warn others. That's what the word of God is given to us for, so that we can learn, right? The third reason why he gives us his law is to protect us from sinning against our own bodies. That's right. He doesn't want us to sin against our own bodies. When you lay down with somebody that is not your own to lay down with, you are sinning against your own body. 1 Corinthians 6:18 should wake us up to this. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Think about that for a moment. When you do something sexually immoral, no matter what it is, you are sinning against the temple of the Lord that he has given you. Think about that for a moment. Think about how serious this is to God. Okay, so number two, the real meaning of adultery. Matthew 5:28, Jesus says, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Does that say some people? Does that say a few people? No, it says everyone who looks at a woman. Now, this also goes for you ladies, everyone who looks at another man, right? And you know what? We also have this thing called homosexuality. So we can actually look at the same sex with what? Lust too, right? Come on, let's be real. We live in a real world, right? So he's actually speaking to everyone who even so much as looks. I think we're all guilty now, aren't we? Wow. I think we've all just been convicted here, haven't we? Because Jesus pretty much summed up everything, hasn't he? Come on now. Anybody that says that this doesn't apply to them, you're fooling yourself, right? Or you're lying to us. Because he pretty much just got everybody on this, didn't he? Mankind's idea of sexual adultery is the physical act of marital unfaithfulness, and even though true, now that's true, okay, Christ has a much broader definition of adultery. See, our definition is, well, I thought about it, but I didn't do it. But guys, you know that if you're walking in the mall or anywhere else with your woman and you're staring at some girl, you're going to get bopped, aren't you? Not because of what you were doing, but because of what you were thinking. Right? So Jesus has given us the real interpretation of God's law. It's the state of the heart, isn't it? It's right here. It's what's in here, right? Because we all know that we can be with somebody physically, but they're not with us emotionally, and that hurts when we're in a relationship where someone doesn't love us back, right? Who isn't treating us right, correct? Okay. So, Christ has a much broader definition of adultery. One, a deliberate look with immoral intent and desires. So you're staring at someone and you're lusting. He says that's wrong and you're committing adultery when you do that. Passion within the heart, lusting and desiring. You're thinking about it. The person may not even be there to look at, but you're thinking of them. You're wondering about it. You're even contemplating it. You're even trying to figure out how you can get away with it. You're planning it out in your head. You're fantasizing about it. You've got a passion for it. Every time you see that person or think of that person, you start to lust. You start to have a desire for that person. Jesus says that's adultery. The actual act of sex with someone other than your own spouse or sex with someone else's spouse. See, those people are off limits to us. They're off limits. If it's not your spouse, keep your hands and eyes off of them. It's not for you. You're taking something that is not yours. You're messing with something that is not yours. And God takes it very seriously. Because what ends up happening is that we start destroying people, property, families. Number four, divorce relationships. God does not recognize a divorce unless it is due to adultery. Now, I know this is a hard one to accept, but I'm not saying this. This is what's in the Bible. And I included the scripture here because we're going to go over this next week, but I thought I'd give you a preview of it just so you can see that Jesus says it. Matthew 5:32, he says, "But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery, and anyone who remarries or anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery." Now, we're going to go over this next week. We're going to clarify some of this stuff. So like I said, let's not jump to any conclusions. Let's just go through the scriptures and see what God is saying to us in them, okay? Like I said, this is going to be some hard stuff to listen to because a lot of it's convicting, isn't it? Number five, spiritual unfaithfulness towards God. How many of you guys know that you can commit adultery in your heart against God? Sure can. Pick up a horoscope and read it. That's spiritual adultery. You are putting that horoscope in charge of your life rather than God. He doesn't like that. To him, that's witchcraft. It's demonic. It's not him. He's not writing those horoscopes for you. He wants you to pick up the Bible and read about him. Amen? Mark 8:38 says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Did you see the word adulterous in there? Because I did. Now think about this. What he is saying is, if you're even so much as embarrassed to talk about Jesus, friends, family, coworkers, guess what? You're committing adultery against him. Has anybody ever felt like their spouse or a close loved one was ashamed of them? They're fine when they're alone with you. They get around their friends and you are nobody. Seriously. You're alone with this person and, hey, you're my best friend in the world. But when your friends come around, suddenly your name is mud. If we do that to Jesus, your name's going to be mud. Okay, third, the instruments of adultery, the eyes and the hands. Now, see, some of us would think it's just the hands that get us into trouble, but Jesus says our eyes are going to get us there too. Christ tells us there is eye adultery, heart adultery, and body adultery. three kinds of adultery here. To look at or search for another person in lustful desire is eye adultery. You see someone looking real hard. There's a difference between admiring and lusting. Okay? So, eye adultery is to have a lustful desire. So it's okay to look at somebody and say, I like your shirt today. I like the way you're wearing your hair today. Right? That's okay. But we don't want to go any further than that. Okay? To fantasize about another person sexually or immorally is heart adultery. Thinking about it, wondering about it, hoping for it, planning for it. That's in the heart. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when you read through this, it gets kind of scary, doesn't it? The other kind is to touch or engage in sexual acts with one another who is not married to you or who is married to someone else, body adultery. Now we're actually doing the act. All three of them are serious. And I know in our society we think, well, as long as I'm not really doing it, I'm okay. And that's not what Jesus is teaching us today. Okay, we're almost done. Number four, there is a remedy for adultery. And Jesus is going to tell us what this is. In our verses today, Matthew 5, verses 29 through 30, he says this. And I'm going to explain this, so let's not gasp just yet. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. Wow. Well, let's not be ripping our eyes out and tearing our hands off, because Jesus was using an exaggeration here to give you an idea of how serious it is to be thrown into hell. That is better to walk into heaven with a few parts than to be thrown into hell with all your parts. And he was also telling you how swift and how painful and how dire and how serious the judgment of adultery is. Because anytime Jesus starts talking about don't do something and then mentions the word hell, it scares me. I said anytime that Jesus says don't do something and then mentions the word hell in the next sentence, it scares me. It should scare you too. And it's not to make you afraid of God, it's to give you respect. It's to give you respect. Whatever it is that may lead you or is leading you into adultery, cut it out of your life. If, guys, ladies, you have a pretty or handsome friend that you are thinking about, that you are attracted to, say goodbye, because you can't trust yourself around that pretty friend. Don't get alone with that person. Don't be hanging out with that person. You get what I'm saying? Huh? If you got magazines hanging around your house, get rid of them. Websites, internet websites, movies, anything R-rated with sexual content in them, or language, or conversation, throw it out. Friends that would lead you that way, get rid of them. They ain't your friends. Better be alone. Better to be alone with the Lord than with a bunch of heathens that's going to send you into trouble with God. Whatever it is. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about popping out eyes, chopping off hands. He's saying go to the extreme in your life and cut off whatever it is that's leading you into sin to the point where it's going to hurt sometimes. Because sometimes it's going to hurt. Sometimes it's going to hurt to get rid of the things in your life that's leading you astray. How many of you guys in here today have had to make hard choices to get rid of someone or something because they were bringing you down the wrong road to God? They were leading you astray. There's just some things you have to say goodbye to. And Jesus is saying it could be the same as chopping off your hand or popping out your eye. Who wants to pop their eye out in here? Because I ain't raising my hand. But Jesus is saying some of the things in your life are so precious to you that popping your eye out is equivalent to getting rid of them. So when you're looking into your own life as I speak these words today, and you're thinking about some stuff that you know shouldn't be there after hearing this message, you might try to justify by saying, surely God wouldn't mean that, because that would hurt. Well, that's why he's saying this, because he knows it's going to hurt. Stay away from places that lend themselves to acts of sexual immorality. Don't go to those funny looking stores that says toys for grown-ups. I'm saying it nice. We're all adults here. We sent the kiddos out. Stay away from those stores. Revoke your membership in those places. Stay away from those nightclubs that have the ladies, and in some cases the men, dance in circles around something called a pole. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Stay away from those places. You know what? But it's not just those places, right? Regular bars. People go there to pick up other people, don't they? Right? Stay away from those places. Well, there's other places we need to stay away from, too. There's dating websites. I see them advertised. I go surf the net for the news and stuff. And on my front page on Yahoo, it says, how to cheat on your spouse. Click here. What? You mean there's websites that teach you how to do that stuff? My gosh, who would even want to go there, let alone write a website like that? But if you see that on your screen, don't go there. Stay away from there. That's what Jesus is telling you. Stay away from stuff that's going to hurt you and somebody else. Don't sin against your own body. Don't sin against the people that God sent in your life that you're to love and take care of. Okay. Stay away from persons who are sexually immoral in act, speech, or deed. Now, how many of you know that you all have somebody that you know of that has a filthy mouth, that does filthy things? If I know of somebody who's running around on their wife or husband, the only thing I have to do with them is counseling them. I will give them the word of God. I won't hang out with them until they repent from that stuff. Because if they're cheating with their spouse, they're going to try to justify it by trying to get me or my wife to do the same thing with them. Doesn't mean they'll succeed. I'm just saying that what they're doing is going to sooner or later come out of their mouths. Right? The overflow of the heart is what comes out. The mouth is the overflow of the heart, right? You're going to start talking about what you're doing. You're going to try to get other people involved in it. Stay away from those people. They're going to tell you, oh, it's okay to be a cheater. And it's fun, too. Look at me. I'm happy. No, they're not. They're fooling themselves. Nobody is truly happy when they're destroying people. Who could be happy about destroying people, property, and families? Who could be happy doing that stuff? The other thing we could do is refrain from clothing that is sexually suggestive. It means that we are to what? We are to cover ourselves in decency. And guys, we have a problem at looking at the ladies when the ladies are displaying everything out in the open. Am I speaking some truth? So ladies, understand the weakness of men, and it's not an excuse that when we are out and about, we should dress appropriately, even if you're not married, because you may be walking down the street enticing a married man. Now, it's his fault for looking, but we all have our responsibilities to cover ourselves in decency. Men, same thing. right? Where to? Where? We're to wear decent clothing. We're to conduct ourselves in decent speech and respect the marriages of other people. Refrain from conversations that depict sexual acts. Let's not sit down and talk about that movie last night that had that incredible love scene in it. Let's not talk about that magazine picture you saw at the checkout stand that shouldn't have been there. Let's not talk about those things that we did with other people, or that we're doing with other people, or that we're planning to do with other people, or that we're hoping to do with other people. So that pretty much eliminates all conversation to do with that stuff, doesn't it? Let's keep our conversations clean, moral, and adultery free. Now see, in this day and age, it's hard to find somebody that you can be friends with that'll be doing all of this stuff, right? But see, you're not responsible for those people. Who are you responsible for? You're responsible for you. So if you can control yourself, you'll have less problems with what other people are doing. Because you can't base your walk with Jesus on what you see other people doing. That'll get you in trouble. So you make the right choices for your life. As for yourself, this is your choices, okay? This is where you come in. This is your responsibility. Pastor can't make you, okay? Your spouse can't make you do anything, right? You're a free agent. I don't make my wife do anything. She don't make me do nothing. So this is all about you. For yourself, dress decently. Dress to please the Lord. Think about how you want your children to dress. Think about how you want your little children to dress. Well, you're a little child of God. You should dress the way you know your Heavenly Father wants you to dress. Shouldn't be too hard. 1 Timothy 2:9 says, likewise, also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel. And what they're saying is that when we come to church, and this is for guys too, okay, we should dress in respectable apparel. That doesn't mean suits and ties. It just means that we don't want anything showing that ain't supposed to be out. Behave in a Christian manner at all times. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, you're calling yourself Christ-like. That means you're the ambassador for Jesus. You're representing God the Father. When people look at you, they should see Jesus. But if they see somebody immoral, you're misrepresenting God. Not to mention you're causing damage to yourself. You're causing damage to other people. You want to be decent. So we want to behave like a Christian at all times. Not just when we come to church. Not just when we're reading our Bible and we think God is watching only at those times. All the time. Because it's healthy. It's a healthy way of living. We're not talking about religion here. We're talking about a relationship with God that works for both of us. It's good for us to be Christian-like. Keep your eyes and mind focused on acceptable things to the Lord. So your eyes, your mind, your thoughts, all of this. Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So you know right there you got a list, right? You got a list of what God wants you to be doing and thinking about. So you're thinking to yourself, well, what is true in this world? What is honorable? What is just? What is pure? What is lovely? What is commendable? What is excellent? What is worthy of praise? What in this world is? I'm glad you asked. In conclusion, I want to say that Christ is the most true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, praiseworthy person there is. Think of him. Every time one of these immoral thoughts comes to your mind, take every thought captive in Christ. Stop yourself and think of Jesus. Worship him, praise him. Say, Lord, Forgive me, God, for that thought. I want to praise you right now. I want to think of you. I don't want to dwell on that thought. I want to think about you. Because you're pure, you're excellent, you're praiseworthy. Okay, so take every thought captive in Christ. How do we take every thought captive in Christ? We learn the Bible. For everything that is wrong in our lives, there's a Bible verse for it. For every worry, every concern, every fear, there is a Bible verse. If you don't know your Bible verses, read, read, read. And I promise you, as you read, as you mature in the Lord, you will think about Him more. And He will take your thoughts captive. You'll have this thought pop in, and the Lord will break right through that thought, and He will take it captive in Christ, and He will redirect your thinking, redirect your behavior. If you're an angry person, take that thought captive in Christ. Read scripture on being angry. If you're an anxious person, take that thought captive in Christ by reading verses on that. If you're a person who is having trouble in the sexual department, read scriptures on sexual immorality, and God will take those thoughts captive in Christ. Anything that you are struggling with today, you give it to God by reading the scriptures pertaining to the problem, and He will take it captive in Christ, all of those thoughts, all of those actions. And as you mature in Christ, you will become more and more Christ-like. None of us are there yet, and none of us will be there completely until Jesus returns. But in the meantime, He is working on each and every one of us. How many of you guys know you're being polished by Jesus right now? God the Father is polishing you. Did you know that when you get to a dirty spot on something you're polishing, you have to rub harder? How many of you guys know that? Everybody knows that, right? So when God finds something that's really dirty in your life, He's going to start scrubbing. And if the stain is really deep, He's going to break out the sandpaper. And He's going to start scraping. But if you give that over to God through the Word of God, it won't hurt as much. It'll go easier. Because what you are doing is you are taking captive in Christ every thought, every deed. You are letting God work it out in you. The more you struggle, the more it hurts, right? How many of you fought God? I know I have. And it hurts more because He's going to get His way. So let's stop fighting God. Let's start taking captive all of our thoughts in Christ. And let's remember what He says, that just thinking about this stuff with lustful intent can bring us into some deep, deep trouble. And if you are in that trouble already, let's cut it out. It's not too late. Come to God and say, Lord, I rid myself of this. Now look, just getting rid of it, that's half the battle, right? You still got to let God make it right in your heart.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.